Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read, except this week I'm not going to. I say this week, this episode. It's not been a week since the last episode. So anyway, this week, what I'm going to do is have a look back at the past year and reflect on all of the science fiction books that I've read. So if you this is the first episode that you're listening to and you want to listen to like a normal episode, what you should do is go and download pretty much any other episode with a book title in it. Probably the best thing to do is listen to a book. Listen to one of my reviews of a book you've already read to sort of see what kind of things I say about it, see if you like it or not. And if you do like it, download some others, stick around, see what we want to do. Anyway, this is a special episode, as I said. But first of all, before I get into the books that I've read this year, a little bit of talk about the podcast itself, you know, like state of the podcast, a first year, like for a whole year after I've been doing it. So I actually went back and listened to episode one again, and that's why I explain what the podcast is all about. And I actually recorded that a few times, I think three times already, but I think it's still current. The only thing that's different about the introduction to the podcast that I recorded, I think back in March or May or something like that, was when I said that the podcast were all going to be around about 10 to 15 minutes long. And but since then I've decided no, I'm just going to record the podcast and they're going to go as long as I want them to, or pretty much as long as I've got something to say. Of course, I could always go on longer and longer, but I always, you know, I always just aim for, you know, talk until I've run out of major points of things to say. So you know, it's normally around about, I guess, half an hour to 50 minutes now. And that's been a lot more fun for me. And I guess because the listener numbers haven't really gone down very much, I guess it's not been less fun for anyone listening, and nobody's really complained about it. So that's pretty cool. Next note here, talking of listener numbers, this is it as well. This is not something I've ever really worried about, because I always think, you know, if people actually want to listen to reviews about science fiction novels, it's great. You know, they'll just search online and find it. So that means I've not actually done any promotion. Well, I've done a little bit of promotion for the show, but only sort of mention that I've done it in, you know, in general kind of goings about the internet. So I've never actually tried to promote it on other websites or other podcasts or anything like that. So I really just rely on people who really like reading science fiction to find it for themselves, just when they go on iTunes and search for it or whatever it is. So at this point, I've got around about, so far, I mean, the numbers vary each episode, but around about 600 people who download like every podcast within a day or two of it being released. So I put the podcast and within a few days, there's been around about 600 people download it. Now, I don't know how many of those people actually listen to it, but that's how many downloads I get from people who have forgot to unsubscribe. That's cool. And then, of course, each episode after that gets between around about 30 to 100 downloads per month after that as well. And I guess that's pretty much new listeners going back and listening to the archives, or people just finding bits and pieces and stuff like that. So not the most world-changing listener numbers, I am sure you'd agree there. But after a year, I think it's, you know, no promotion, I think I'm doing pretty well, I think. I don't know. So my question to you is actually, how did you find the podcast? I really want you to email me, luke@juggler.net. That's the email address, luke@juggler.net, and email me. Tell me how you found my podcast. Was it mentioned on some forum somewhere, or did you just search for it on Google? You know, you search for science fiction podcast reviews, because from the statistics that I have, my very limited set of statistics from my website, people just searching for science fiction reviews or something is what, or book review podcast or something like that. That's what people get to on the top result. But I don't know actually how many people who come to the site then subscribe, and I don't then also know how many people like just subscribe through iTunes or anything like that. I know that some people come from the Wikipedia, because for every podcast that I put out, I go to the Wikipedia page for that book and then put a link back to the podcast. And I know a few people have come through it that way from the emails that I've got. They've just said, hey, I read this book and then I looked on Wikipedia and I saw this link to your review, you know. The thing is, I've got a bigger suspicion that most people probably just find it on iTunes. But then again, I don't, you know, they don't come to the site. You don't come to the website if you just go through iTunes. So, email me. Tell me how you found the podcast. I'd really like to know about that. And again, talking of iTunes, I actually looked and found out I have 3 reviews of the podcast. And I keep hearing on other podcasts and they say that, oh, you know, the more reviews that you have on iTunes, you know, you get a high number of people come to your podcast or start listening to your podcast. To be honest, I'm a bit skeptical of that, as I've never myself read any reviews on iTunes except for these ones of my own podcast and of my other podcast, the Juggling Podcast. I look at the reviews there as well. So what do I know? But if you feel like it, you can go to iTunes and and write a review, or just email me your review, or put it on the sfbrp.com wiki. Anyway, other metrics. One thing that I always hear on other podcasts is them asking for donations, asking for money. And so the grand total of money that I've received from this podcast is zero, from no money from anyone. And of course, counting up the money that I've spent on books and bandwidth and all the other bits and pieces for this podcast, I've probably got to around about hundreds of euros. So I'm hundreds of euros in the red. But tell you what, let's keep it that way, because I always think that if you really love your hobby, you're willing to spend money on it. And of course, this podcast is one of my hobbies, and I'm willing to spend money to keep it running as well. So I'm serious. Send no money my way. So we'll just leave it at that. That answers one email that I got the other day. And also, a final note before I got onto the books that I'm going to do here. I actually wrote down a few reasons, which surprised me, actually. Different things of my reading habits, different reading habits that I've had this year. Because I remember saying that I'm probably going to get through around about, you know, at least 50 to 60, 70 books in the year. Because that's normally how many science fiction books that I read. Before this year, that is. And I guess there's a number of reasons why I only managed to read around about 37 science fiction books last week. One is that I guess I also read other kinds of fiction and other non-fiction books as well. So maybe I always used to count them in with the books that I read too. And also, I guess I've just been busy with other projects like working and life in general. Pola, my girlfriend, and I, we always make a list of 10 or 12 things that we want to achieve, some goals of things that we want to achieve in the coming year. And for 2007, I think we managed to, I managed to tick off like 4 or 5 of the things that I wanted to do in 2007. And in 2008, I managed to tick off around about 8 things or something like that. So the vast majority of things that I wanted to do in 2008, I did do. And I guess that just takes up more time and more life than not doing that. So I guess that's it. A second reason that I've done less science fiction reading is because of this podcast. It turns out that doing reviews of books means I actually think about them a whole lot more than I did before. You know, because I used to finish a book and close it and then reach over, pick up the next book and open it and start reading the next book again. Now what I do is I finish a book and I close it and then I think about it for a long time and then I sleep and then I wake up and I think about it for a day and trying to get things clear in my head, get the ideas sort of really, really like clear things up in my head about things I want to say and all that kind of stuff before I record the podcast. And that has obviously slowed down my reading quite a bit. Third reason why I've read less books, and that is, of course, my attempts to write novels. 3 attempts to write a novel this year, which is actually more than normal. First attempt to write a novel was right at the beginning of the year, and I got around about 2,000 words and didn't really feel inspired with it and stuff. Second time I tried writing a novel was in September and October, when I made a start on another novel, and it was based on a classic science fiction work by another author, of course, not me. I don't write any classic science fiction. Anyway, so what I did, I got quite a way into that, but mainly the work of that was actually reading through this other book, this classic science fiction book, and I read it through it at least 3 times this year, and I didn't review it, by the way, but that's another 3 times through. Lots of research and things like that, but it came to nothing. Well, it didn't come to nothing. All the work is there, and I will definitely give this another go, probably within the coming year or so, because I'm very pleased with the idea. It's just the writing wasn't going so well. And of course, then my third attempt at a novel of my own was for the National Novel Writing Month, the NaNoWriMo, and for the first time ever I completed a first draft of a book. And at the moment I'm just finishing up pretty much on the third draft, the third time I've been through it and rewritten it and changed it and doing all the patching up holes and all that kind of stuff. So in the next few days it'll be in a state that I think other people might be able to read it and enjoy it as well. So what I'm going to do is print out a few copies, maybe 10 copies or something like that, and I'm going to send some of them to my friends, and I'll send one to my brother as well, and other interested parties, you know, to get as much like critical, harsh feedback as possible. For one thing, like the structure of the novel is quite complex, because the narrative and the plot, they sort of move around in time and space in what I think is quite like an interesting way of doing it. Maybe not the newest way of structuring a book, but I think it's quite an interesting sort of non-linear way. But it is linear in some ways, but non-linear and others, which is I think is quite interesting. And so of course I know what's going on all the way from the beginning, but I really want to know when other people read it, you know, are they just going to be confused for the whole book, or is it going to come together quite quickly or at the right point in the book. It's like the first third of the book, you should be going, oh, okay, what's this? Oh, when's this? Oh, like that. And then, of course, third of the way through, it should all start becoming clear. And then, you know, as the plot moves forward and things like that. So I think I've pitched it just about right, but, you know, and the pitch is sort of like non-idiot level. I don't want to give away too much at the beginning. And also the book, like, it's an easy read, but it's because it's a mystery, like some kind of mystery, you've got to work hard at it. Anyway, but I can't tell because I'm like the least objective kind of person to judge the level that the book is written. So what I'm doing is putting out now, for you guys, I'm putting out a call for readers. If you want to be one of the first people to read my first ever long work of fiction, novel, novella, whatever it is, it's around about, you know, 200 pages long, I guess. So send me an email and I'll send you a copy. We'll work some out and I'll post you a copy proper through the post. You know, I'll print it out so you don't have to read it on the screen. It'll be on paper and things like that, so you can read it in bed. You don't have to sit there looking at your screen. The only thing I ask in return is to be honest and like helpful with your feedback, and critical if you need to be critical, and if you think something is changing, you should be adding something or taking something away. Of course, like I said, I know everything that's going on in there, but so maybe the pacing is right for me because I already know what's happening, but it's really hard for me to read it with an external eye. So yeah, maybe it's the pacing needs changing and things like that. But of course, because I wrote it, I think it's absolutely awesome because I put in everything that I like about science fiction into the book and didn't put anything into the book that I didn't like, or very few things in the book that I didn't like, except, you know, one or two bits, which I'm not entirely happy with, but I can't see another way around at the moment. So I've got to compromise there. So, you know, lots of stuff going on. It's complex plot, lots of intrigue, like action, politics, mystery, some really key themes that I'm exploring as well. And of course, all the big things that you want from science fiction. Big, of course, science ideas, technological ideas, and there's even some sex and one or two spaceships in there. So all the good stuff that you want from a novel. And like I say, I think it's great, but then again, of course, I would do. So yeah, email me if you want to read it, luke@juggler.net, and I'll send it out to the few people who can convince me, or the first few people, or, you know, if only three people want to read it, I'll email it out to everyone who asks. Anyway, let's get on now. Like I say, that's a bit about me and what I've been up to, or, you know, in the past year. Let's get on to some of the books, or all of the books. I'm going to go through all of the books that I reviewed in 2008. And I was actually wondering how I should do this, if I was going to go through the books in order that I read them or arrange by how I rated them. Because I rate all the books that I read out of 5 stars, purely on how much I enjoyed the book at the time that I read it. So I think that's probably the best way to do. So I'll go through it. They're rated in clumps of all the books from 0 stars up to 0.5 stars. But within the clump, within these sort of overall 1-star rating, sort of like all the 1-star books are just together rather than any order of how much I enjoy them in that way. So yeah, and also I put out a call for feedback, and not a lot of people gave me specific feedback for this end of year episode. So I guess you all sent feedback on the podcast, or when I put out the podcast, people send a lot of feedback for each individual one, which is good. So this is just my views, I guess. So first of all, listed by rating, 0 stars up to 0.5 stars. No book has got that low because, well, I don't know. I just think it's a bit bad. But some books did get 0.5 stars, 3 books. So from episode number 10, Brian Herbert and Kevin J. Anderson, Hunters of Dune. That's, you know, easily one of the worst books of the year, along with Kevin J. Anderson and Brian Herbert, Paul of Dune, also won 0.5 stars out of 5. And I think I reviewed one of these books quite recently, so it's very fresh in my head what I didn't like about these. But again, go back and listen to that review, because I really ripped these books to shreds. Some really good rants going on these ones as well. But yeah, pretty much just the worst book. I don't even know how to sum up my reviews and things like that. I just call them non-canon continuation. It reads worse than really, really bad fan fiction of the Dune universe, so avoid at all cost. Episode 16, David Evans, Time Station Berlin, 0.5 stars. One of the worst books that I actually finished, because the other books, the Dune books, I didn't actually finish. But this book I did finish, mainly because I was wondering how the author was going to get out of this massive plot hole that he dug himself. It was just impossible. I just couldn't work out how he was going to get out. And it turns out he didn't, well, he did get out of it, but it turns out really, really badly. I only read it because it had Berlin in the title, and I was trying to read a book, a science fiction book set in Berlin. And it turns out David Evans has probably never been to Berlin at all because, you know, like I say, just the things that he was stating in the book were just wrong and just impossible. Anyway, next up, we have a 0.9-star book, and this was Neal Stephenson's Snow Crash. I'm not going to give a lot of stuff about it here, not going to talk about it here much, because I did a whole feedback show of that by accident, but I did a whole feedback show about that one. So just to say, I'm still wondering how and why people rate this book so highly. I just can't work it out at all. My only thing is that everyone I've talked to about it who says, oh, I like this, and they always say, what age were you when you read this book for the first time? And they're all like, oh, I was around about 13 or 14 or 15. And so, I said, have you read it recently? And they're like, no. So I think that's probably it. People read this book early on in their maybe science fiction or geek kind of base thing, and they hold this up there as sort of like a really enjoyable book that they read when they were really young, and it just doesn't hold up at all. It's like shockingly bad, just painful to read. Okay, moving on. Stars 1, 2, 2. Right, let me just go the 1-star books. First of all, episode number 9, Carl Sagan, Contact. Yeah, Contact. Everyone goes, oh, wow, amazing book. And it's always listed in these really top things and stuff. I couldn't finish it because it's like, it's not a novel at all. It's just preaching and like about his, like Carl Sagan's views on atheism and this and that. And there's just loads of like science popularizing stuff, just explaining science, not explaining science fiction, just explaining science as we know it. And it's all strung together by some dodgy characters and some plot that's going all over the place and things like that. It's just, again, it's like Carl Sagan, he should stick to being a non-fiction writer, and because, you know, the, like, everything else that I've ever read by him is fantastic except his one attempt at science fiction, because he's just not a very good fiction writer at all. The film Contact is way, way much better as a film than Contact is as a novel. And just, again, I've made a note here as well, just the world building, the way he actually constructs the world is just, that the book is set in, it's just really, really, I don't know, it's just all over the place. Again, it's not got a consistent kind of idea behind the world at all. It's just like, oh, it's a little bit like today, you know, it's a little bit like the real world, but then a bit different. And then he'll explain something else that's different about it. It's just like, well, that's huge, and it would have influenced so much other things except this one difference, you know, and it's a big thing there. Anyway, another 1-star book is Robert J. Sawyer's Hominids. I only reviewed this like 2 episodes again on number 36, and I gave it 1-star, of course. And the main question that I asked was, how on earth could this win a Hugo? And I had a great email. Let me just see if I can open the email here from... Just open my inbox. Here we go. Oh no, it'll be in the book review file. Here we go. Nope, I can't find it. Anyway, I can't find who sent the email. But let me just say what it was that the idea behind this is that Robert J. Sawyer is Canadian, and this book is based in Canada. And that year, the science fiction big convention, the Worldcon or whatever it is that the Hugo is voted at, was in Toronto. So all of the people there in Toronto, there was like a massive amount of Canadians compared to other nationalities, and it seems that the Canadians all voted for the Canadian author in their midst, and that is why Hominids won. And I now understand, because there's no other way that book could have ever been voted the best book, science fiction book, of the year 2004, 2005, whenever it was. Okay, moving on. Now up to 0.5 stars. Here we have an episode number 25, Richard Morgan, Black Man, otherwise known as 13. Now, this is the first book ever where the author of the book, Richard Morgan, or the author of any book, has actually listened to my review and responded by email, because I actually, after listening to an interview with Richard Morgan, I emailed him and said, oh yeah, I thought this and that and this, and I just reviewed your book, and I just mentioned it. Didn't expect him to actually listen to the review at all. You know, it was just a sort of like a small comment in the email, but he did. He went back and listened to my review, and because I only gave it 1.5 stars, he was less than pleased with my review, and less than complimentary about my intellect, and because he definitely seemed to blame me for not getting his book. Again, I'm not going to go into all the things he said, but he just said, oh, you didn't read it properly, you weren't paying attention, you didn't do this and that. But of course, I mean, I don't want to blame him for the same thing, but if he'd have listened to my review, he'd have known actually what I didn't like about the book. He was just like, oh, you don't like a big black protagonist, you've got this racist sort of mindset, and you can't deal with an angry black man as a protagonist. And I would say, no, I'm not that. He was a boring protagonist, and I thought the book was badly written. And I went through all the different points of why I thought it was really badly written. And he was like, oh no, it's just you subconsciously think that, and you subconsciously think this. And I was like, no, I don't subconsciously think anything. I actually consciously think all these other things, why this book is bad and things like that. Because once you start playing that, oh no, you say that, but subconsciously you think this, it's like, okay, well, if you're deciding what's actually going on in my brain, I guess I can't say anything in return to that. So yeah, he just pretty much accused me of reading it at a very shallow level, and he said I should stick to reading things like The Da Vinci Code, which, if anyone's listened to any of my other reviews, I think they understand that I do sort of get science fiction and themes and literature in a little bit of a deeper way than that. So anyway, I did say to him, and I did say at the end of the Black Man review, that I would read another of his book, and I do actually have it in front of me here, Richard Morgan, Altered Carbon. That was his first published book, and again, I said it at the time, and I actually said it to Richard Morgan in the emails that we exchanged. I said, this Altered Carbon was one of the most enjoyable reads that I've had in the past few years, or new books that I've read in the last few years. So I've got that, and I'll probably read it in the next few weeks and review it for everyone. Next up, another 1.5 star book, John Varley, Red Thunder, back in episode 27. And looking back now, I can actually, you know, because someone emailed me and said, oh yeah, maybe you're just a bit old for it. And then thinking about it, I thought, oh yeah, maybe it's like a young adult book. Maybe it's written for 13-year-olds, because that's where it seemed to appeal, like the level. I said it was really written, really basic kind of vocabulary in a real basic way. But then I can't look at it as a young novel, young adult novel either, because, you know, because, well, there was all kinds of stuff in there which I wouldn't really consider, I wouldn't say not suitable for young audiences, but then maybe all the sex that was mentioned, because it was never described, it was always mentioned, maybe that's really titillating to a 13 or 14-year-old boy, so maybe that works out. But if you are going to write a young adult novel, it has to be better than that. It has to actually, you know, all of the criticisms that I have still stand, except for maybe the pitch of the book. So even if it is a young adult novel, I'm probably not going to change it. Maybe 2 stars instead of 1.5 stars. I don't know. So anyway, people did, though, say, check out another book by John Varley, and people recommended Steel Beach. So I do actually have that in front of me now as well. So I'll decide which one of those books I'm going to read. So Steel Beach by John Varley will be reviewed in the future. Moving on to 2 stars, up to 2.5 stars. Okay. So I guess 2-star books are books that are, I've got good stuff in them that I can actually really start enjoying, but they're spoiled by like major elements that were elements that were really key to the book, like key components in the book, main components of the book were bad in such a way. So that really brings it down. So first of all, episode 21, Buzz Aldrin and John Barnes, Encounter with Tiber. And I gave this 2 stars. The thing is, looking back now, I actually remember enjoying this more now than when I did read it back, whenever it was that I read it back for episode 21. But the thing is, this happened to me before. I read this years ago, and I remembered really enjoying it, and then I read it again and really didn't enjoy it, but now I'm remembering enjoying it more now. So I think it's just because there was lots of good stuff in there. Like, again, there's lots of good ideas in there. Well, the characters weren't great and stuff like that, but you could stick around with them. You know, I could deal with it. So it's really one of the weird things, but I've read it twice now. So I'm certainly not going to read it again to see if I need to up or down my rating. Anyway, because of this, I do actually have another book. This seems to be quite a common thing now. John Barnes, I've got another book by his, The Sky So Big and Black. So I'm going to read that, of course, in the next 6 weeks or, you know, sometime, and give that a review, because see what John Barnes has done aside from his work with Buzz Aldrin. Next up, episode 24, The Last Legends of Earth by A.A. Atanasio. Gave this one 2 stars too, because it was just, in the end, big, overblown fantasy kind of work. And I must, I think the way that I define fantasy, I guess, is, or overblown fantasy and sort of like weird fantasy, is because, like, if you've got a world which is like has different laws of physics at the beginning of the book to the end of the book, and you don't explain how the laws of physics have changed and stuff like that, that's what I'd call fantasy, I guess. So that's why it was rambling all over the place. But there was some really, really good passages in it and stuff, which is, you know, some sections taken by themselves are really good fun. Just overall, it was let down by like I say, you can just if you can just change the rules of the world as you go through, it's sort of, I can't enjoy it. I have to have something strict. For example, like, all the way through, people were dying, and they're like, oh, people are dying. And then they worked out a way of just bringing people back to life again. And suddenly all tension was just out of the book, because you can't have any tension if you can, like, when the main star dies, you can just go, oh, we'll just bring him back again. Oh, okay, like that. Well, you can have tension when if when someone dies, you can bring them back, but you've just got to write... You got to write that kind of tension in. You got to write those rules in from the start, and this didn't happen. Episode 37, Isaac Asimov and Robert Silverberg, Nightfall. 2 stars. Of course, I only reviewed this on the last episode, so if you want to go back and listen to that one, you'll understand why I gave these two classic science fiction authors such a low rating. And one of the main reasons is, like, if you go mad when it gets dark, turn on the light, because you've got a light. And it's one of those weird things, you know. Anyway, listen to my review, you'll understand what I'm talking about there. Okay, 2.5 stars. All of these books have got, like, this, they've struck a really good balance between things I really like and things I really don't enjoy. But depending on what you like in science fiction, what you really enjoy from science fiction, maybe you'd love these books, or maybe you'd hate them worse than me, you know. So these are, like, the most average books, I guess, or, well, they're a bit below average, I'm not really sure. Anyway, number 3, episode 3, Pamela Sargent, Venus of Dreams. This is 2.5 stars, because I read this whole way back. I can't really remember very much about it. I guess, like, there was an interesting world being built, but the people were really boring. I didn't actually enjoy any of the characters at all, so I really struggled to care about them. And also, it really, really dragged, because I didn't realise when I was reading it that it was the first part in a trilogy, and which meant that I was just waiting for the story to kick in, and by the end of it, the story sort of started slowly kicking in the last few chapters, but by that time, I was just tired of it and stuff like that. So, next book, episode 8, Robert Reed with Marrow, and also Robert Reed with The Well of Stars. These both got 2.5 stars, and The Well of Stars was episode 35, not long ago. These are big, dumb objects and big science fiction things done really well. The first book, Marrow Plotting, was a bit rough, but again, I think this is really weird, because I remember enjoying this one more than 2.5 stars. You know, if someone asked me now, Marrow, how would you rate it? I would go, 3.5 star book? But no, I put 2.5 stars. But I guess it comes down to, you know, sort of like me liking the themes and the ideas, but actually the execution of those ideas, not so much. And episode 35, The Well of Stars, pretty much the same kind of thing. Same cool, large-scale technology, but many of the same kind of flaws. And also, it wasn't a sequel. It's the second part in an unplanned trilogy. Or put it this way, when he started writing Marrow, he didn't have 3 books in mind, and the end was a bit unsatisfying. Okay, Charles Stross, Singularity Sky, another 2.5 star book. Lots of fun technological ideas, except probably too many technological ideas. The thing is, there was no tension in this book. He was saying, and this was happening, and that was happening, and this was happening, and the plot sort of puttered out about halfway through, only to be revived, like, right at the very end, where he put, like, 5 big plot twists in the last 4 pages of the book, and then sort of nothing happened, and then he wrapped it up, and I was like, ta-da! And I'm just like, must do better. But, like I say, lots of good stuff, but as a work of narrative fiction, lacking quite a lot. Number 23, episode 23, another 2.5 star book, Spider Robinson, Callahan's Secret. Again, big thing here, puns and word games and all that kind of stuff are really funny when you're in a group of friends and you're making up the puns as you go along, and you're trying to make up as many puns as you can, and that's all really good fun when you're doing it yourself. But when you're just reading a list of puns from a book, which is sort of like, and the story only exists to show off Spider Robinson's, you know, command of puns and language, I just couldn't get into it at all. It was well written, though, and, you know, there was fun ideas and fun characters, but it was mainly, again, let down by saying, you can just read this as a standalone book. You don't need to have read the first 2 Callahan's sort of, like, short story collections, when it turns out that I think you did really have to start by reading the first Callahan stories, you know, read them in order, because I just couldn't get into it very much. Episode 31, more 2.5 stars. Neuromancer by William Gibson. Stylish. Very stylish. I put down this here, my little note here. Lots of atmosphere. Let down by all kinds of things, though, really, because mainly Gibson, he has lots of ideas, and he can build a world, and he can describe a world, and, you know, it's really great what he does, but they didn't really have any big stories or any interesting characters to hang them on, because the characters sort of meander all over the place, and they go here, and they do something, and go there, and they do something, and then they do this, and again, the pacing was weird, because they set up here, and they set up here, and then the last of it is just this really long, tedious section in the space station at the end, it just takes ages and ages and ages for this one woman to walk, and then the other one catches the bus, and you know, just the, well, it doesn't really catch a bus, taxi down there instead of walking. It's like, well, why didn't the first person walk down? Loads of really weird sort of wrong things. And also just like the ethic of cyberpunk, sort of like the style of cyberpunk, when it's embodied by a series of characters who I find uninteresting and don't like, and I'm being forced to spend time with these sort of cyberpunk characters, it's just not really for me. Talking of punk stuff, let's try out here episode 34, China Meville. His Perdido Street Station, his steampunk effort there. Again, 2.5 stars. Loads of really great world building. Once again, you know, I really like the world building kind of style of this, except that when it came to the place where you really wanted action, he would go back and then describe stuff again and again. And then when the action was just picking up again, he'd go back and describe another part of the city and like this. It kept on just getting dragged down. But as a work of sort of bizarre science fiction fantasy kind of mix up, lots of good stuff in there. Except, of course, like that I mentioned in the big review that I did of it, of course, lots of interesting themes and storylines in the first half of the book, which were just dropped halfway through to concentrate on a big bug hunt. So if you don't like big bug hunts, avoid that book. So that's all the 2.5 star books, I guess. So let's move on to books 3 stars. Let's just do all 3 stars up to 3.9 star books. There's not actually many in this category here as well, but all these books are really, like, really solid books, very, like, above average or average to above average. And I'd recommend, like, if anyone says, "Shall I read this book?" I'd be like, "Yeah, of course, read that book. Nothing wrong with it at all." Because they've all got lots of interesting stuff in them, not many big flaws. They all of them seem to just lack a bit of magic for me, which would just sort of bring them really to life. So, for example, episode 12, Ken MacLeod, Learning the World. But it was like fun aliens, and the humans weren't that interesting. But, you know, it was good stuff. But it was like a first contact paint by numbers. It's just sort of like, okay, here we go, and that's what happens, and this is there, and that we do there, and there we do there, and ta-da. And it's just like, great, but haven't I read this book like many times before? Of course the aliens were different and the contact was different, but like the ideas behind it, they didn't seem to be that much fresh. But certainly worth a read, definitely check it out. Joan D. Vinge, I think this was the first, yeah, episode number 2, the first book I ever reviewed. Outcasts of Heaven's Belt, 3.5 stars. Interesting take, very interesting universe, everything there, and there's some good lots of good stuff going on in this book. It's all set on a solar system which is purely asteroid belts and no sort of like Earth-sized planets for people to settle on, and what can go wrong in that kind of system when you don't have anything to fall back on, when you don't have a, you know, if your civilization collapses and you can't just go out and start fires again to survive, you know, what will happen? I don't know. Anyway, that book explores that very well. Next up, episode 5, Alistair Reynolds, Diamond Dogs, Turquoise Days, 3.5 stars for this one. And it was 2 stories in one book, 2 sort of like short, like, well, 2 novellas put together into one novel length size set in the same Revelation Space universe. And both are sort of like high standard, as I expect from Alistair Reynolds, because I don't think I've ever read anything bad by him or anything badly written or anything that I didn't really enjoy. But overall, they were just a bit, okay, that's cool, like that. Especially the first one, which was a little bit derivative because it was very much like The Cube. If you've seen the film The Cube, it was pretty much The Cube, but with like a slight different twist and stuff. That was the setup behind it. And I was thinking, yeah, okay, that's great. You know, The Cube set in a Revelation Space universe and what would go on there and stuff like that. So that's pretty good. The one thing I would like to say about this was, because the idea of having the 2 novellas combined into one publication, I'm thinking that's what I might do with my book or with my novel, because I have another about novella length novel idea set in the story idea set in the same world with some of the same kind of characters or some of the same ideas. So I might do that, actually, just write another novel, and then when I actually give them to people or let people download them or read them, or if I podcast them or something like that, I just do them both at the same time and release them both at the same time. It could work out. Anyway, moving on, another 3.5 star book, Moving Mars by Greg Bear. It's definitely a book of 2 halves. First half of the book is very much sort of like one person coming of age, learning about the world of Mars and stuff like that, and getting involved and doing, getting into politics. And then the second half of the book is this big thing with sort of like big politics going on, and they seem to be stuck together in a way which is very unsatisfying and doesn't really seem that genuine. But both half of the book I liked, but it just like together they sort of like clashed against each other a bit. It could have also, that could have been like 2 books stuck together, I'm sure. Anyway, moving on to books with 4 stars and above. Four-star books. Let me just quickly go through these. Of course, there are quite a lot of 4 to 4.9-star books, and that's mainly because, like I said, all the way through, is that I like reading, and I read for pleasure, and I like rereading books that I've already enjoyed the first time, you know. So there's a lot of good books that I've read. It's because, yeah, I've gone back and read books that I know I will enjoy, and also because I like reading new books by authors that I really like, and I like reading the books of authors that I really like that I've not yet read yet, no matter how old they are. So the chances of me rating a book by an author who I really, really rate highly, and also rating their books highly, yeah, it's quite high. If that sentence was made any sense at all. Anyway, so let's move on to Fire in the Abyss, episode 6 here by Stuart Gordon. 4 stars for this book because it's a great time travel story with a very, very unlikely hero. Sir Humphrey being moved through space and time and trying to get by in sort of, I think, 1980s kind of world and stuff like that, going from San Francisco to England and stuff like that. There's some 16th century character being brought through time. I really, really enjoyed it. And I've read it twice now, and I've really enjoyed it both times. Next up, Peter F. Hamilton's Fallen Dragon, 4 stars for this book. It's a standalone Hamilton book. And it's really great, of course, like Peter F. Hamilton's books normally are, until pretty much the very end, where, of course, in the style of Peter F. Hamilton, it just all goes a bit deus ex machina, and they just, one person just goes, oh, and I'll just use this machine to do that. Everything's great. Yeah, thanks, cool. And it seems to be a recurring theme in his books. Next up, Robert A. Heinlein and Spider Robinson, Variable Star. This was from episode number 14. I gave this book 4 stars too, because it was new Heinlein, and with a twist, because it wasn't just Heinlein, because it was the ideas of Heinlein, with very much the same ending as one of his books in particular, but with the added bonus of having interesting characters, pretty much more interesting characters than Heinlein normally writes, because Spider Robinson probably put all this kind of his ideas in there as well. The thing is, it was a little bit long and it got a bit slow towards the end, but you know, there was it was pretty good. Looking back now, I'd probably give this a little bit of a lower rating than 4 stars, mainly because I think I was just so pleased with having some new Heinlein material to read there. And but hey, 4 stars. I'll leave it at the 4 stars, no problem at all. Episode 17, Kim Stanley Robinson's Antarctica. Another 4-star book here. It got such a high rating, not because it was a great novel, it's because I've been to Antarctica, and one of the reasons why I so wanted to go to Antarctica for many, many years is because of this book. I never thought it was a fantastic book, but it really grabs, it really does sort of key into what makes Antarctica Antarctica. You know, it's a fantastic travel book. You know, if you really want to know lots of stories about Antarctica and get a feel of the place, read this book, because like I say, when I went to Antarctica, I knew so much, or I knew a lot about Antarctica because of this book. So maybe 3 stars as a story, but 5 stars as a travel book. So I gave it an average of 4 stars. And actually, I have another, which one do I have here? Yeah, Kim Stanley Robinson, The Gold Coast. I've got that book here with me to read, so I'll be reading it in the future. I've not read that one. I've read his other California Coast books, but I don't think I've read this one. Next up, episode 19, Alistair Reynolds, The Prefect. Lots of really good stuff. However, I found the end was a bit too clean, because every single character and every thread and every subplot and everything was all wrapped up into one little event at the end, and it's like, whew, done. And I'm like, oh, okay, fair enough. I mean, it's really weird to criticise a book for being too well plotted, because that's almost what it is. It felt too well plotted. It felt too clinical, which is good. In a way, I could have almost done it with this book being a little bit longer and having a bit more fuzziness around it in the edges and stuff. But it's a very, very good book. And again, it all comes down to this recurring theme for me that I really don't like it when, at the end of the book, the main sort of all the drama, the last dramatic thing is just to be a gunfight between the protagonist and the antagonist. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it's good, but it doesn't work out when, like, all the rest of the book has been full of really, like, interesting drama, and conflict has been handled with lots of inventiveness and lots of interesting things going on, and then it all comes down to a gunfight. That's that kind of contrast is what I don't like about a book. Moving on, Joe Haldeman, The Forever War. First time I'd actually ever read this book, and it's classic sci-fi, but I don't know why I've never read it before. But, you know, it is, of course, as solid as you like in terms of the ideas and the themes there. But the world is a little bit dated now that it was set in, but definitely read it. In fact, read all of these 4-star books. And, of course, as it keeps saying, I keep saying I've got these other books to read because I've got them in a stack right here in front of me. Yeah, I've got Forever Peace by Joe Haldeman, the follow-up book to Forever War, written quite a lot later, I think. But I've never read this book either, so I'm going to give it a go. Next up, another four-star book, John Brunner, The Crucible of Time. Another really, really great book. The world building in this book was really, really fantastic. I really liked it. The aliens were good and the characters were good. The thing is, it did get a little bit too repetitive in places, because it's sort of like this, it's set over like thousands upon thousands of years, generations and generations. But the short stories that it was made up from were sort of got a little bit repetitive in places. But overall, really, really good book. Really enjoyed it. The last four-star book that I read was episode 30, Peter F. Hamilton, The Dreaming Void. I gave this four stars. It's the first in a series of three books. Because it was the first in a series of three books, this is full of what Hamilton does best, which is world building and ideas building and technology building and character building and, you know, world building and all that kind of stuff. That's really good. I've actually just on the last maybe 50 pages, or probably the last 20 pages by now, actually, of the next in the series of this, Temporal Void. So I'm not really enjoying this one so much. Well, up until today, I wasn't really enjoying it so much, but it's sort of picking up towards the end in a way, and sort of tailing off towards the end. I'm not really sure. Anyway, but The Dreaming Void, four stars. I'm enjoying this series a lot. Second last section of books, see if I can get this finished up in the next few minutes, is the 4.5 star books. First of all, number 28, episode 28, Robert Reed, Down the Bright Way. 4.2 stars I gave this, actually, because it's surprisingly good. It's like the same scale of huge concepts as his other books, Marrow and the Well of Stars. But with Down the Bright Way, he brought everything down to like this painfully intimate kind of level. He goes, right, okay, we've got these four or five characters and we're going to stick with them, and it's going to be world changing, it's going to be globe spanning, and it's going to be cosmos spanning kind of science fiction, but we're going to stay with these four characters and they're going to be in the same room as each other like all the way through the book. And it's that kind of intimate level, but with the big science fiction ideas and some good stories as well, that I really enjoyed it. And it surprised me, because Robert Reed's other books, the Marrow book, again, I sort of enjoyed it in some ways, but it's certainly not at the same level as this one. So if you're only going to read one Robert Reed book, read Down the Bright Way. Oh, that's my recommendation anyway. Episode 4, Robert A. Heinlein, The Door into Summer. Because I'm pretty much a sucker for time travel books as well, because I really like it, as long as it's time travel done well. And this is one of the sort of time travel done really well. I think I actually rated this a bit too highly. I put 4.5 stars, but I think it's because it was one of the first books that I read and reviewed, like the third book I read and reviewed, I wasn't really quite sure what the scale was here. So I think I'm actually going to take the rating of this down to maybe 4 or 3.8 stars or something, because I think it was just like I hadn't actually worked out what a 4-star or 4.5-star book was going to be. Because, you know, some of the characters are a bit bland and some of the world is a bit bland. The cat is fantastic, but doesn't actually do very much, you know. So there's fantastic good stuff in it, but also a bit in places as well. Next up, Dune, Frank Herbert, episode 11, 4.5 stars. I read it again because I was so pissed off with the other Dune books written by his son and Kevin J. Anderson. And of course this is rated so highly because I've read it now 4 or 5 or 6 times. I can't even remember how many times I've read this, and it's still a masterwork. And if you haven't read Dune yet, what are you doing? Just get out there. And also, it has added nostalgia factor as well, how I still really enjoy this book, and it brings back good memories from previous times when I've read it. Episode number 32, John Wyndham, The Day of the Triffids, 4.5 stars. Again, another book very much rated highly based on my own nostalgia, because, you know, Triffids were some of my favourite childhood characters to play with in the back garden, you know, in my head. But that's the kind of thing that I did as a child. But also, really, really good stuff, this book. Again, there's a reason why this is a classic science fiction book from back in the 1940s, whatever it was from. And also, of course, I've got more books of his, because I brought the omnibus with me. I read Day of the Triffids, but there's also The Kraken Wakes, or The Kraken Wakes, and The Chrysalids, so I'll be reading them sometime this year, I'm sure. And finally, last book around about this area, Werner Vinge, The Peace War, back from episode 15, because it's really solid sci-fi. It let down a little bit by the bland characters, and, you know, this one plot point that didn't really set well with me. It didn't seem to fit into the timeline. I couldn't work out how they could have got to that point in the short amount of time that they had to get there. I don't want to spoil it for you, but that's where it was. But there was, you know, certainly one of the books that I've read, certainly one of my favourites. Again, probably I'd knock it down maybe to 4 stars now looking back on it, but it obviously impressed me a lot at the time when I read it. So yeah, some books I remember being better than I rated them at the time, but some books I remember them not being so memorable and interesting. But this does, in science fiction, what I really do, you know, set up the world, you know, set something different about it, and then explore, extrapolate, interpolate to whatever you need to do to find out the good stuff in the world that you've created. And that's what I really like about science fiction. Finally, last book, the highest rated book, and by far the most enjoyable book that I've read this year, I think, from the top of my head, and of course it reflected in the star rating, 5 stars, back from episode 26, Ian M. Banks' Use of Weapons, because, you know, I really like his books, and it just doesn't get any better than this. It's got the complex plot, it's got the complex structure, it's got the complex characters, it's got the complex ideas, the complex themes, and it's just really, really well written. And because it was set in an existing universe by Ian M. Banks, in the culture universe, it means that's, you know, all of his other books are sort of feeding into it as well. All the things that I know from his other books all feed into this. And it really, it's one of those times when creating a world spread out of many novels really does, you know, improve any novel set in it, because you sort of get to know it and you're comfortable there. And once you're comfortable there, he doesn't have to spend any time in the book making me comfortable with the world. He just goes, okay, you know the world? Right, let's explore this aspect of it. And that's where we go about it. And that's, of course, what I really loved about it. So, yeah, so that's all the books. Use of Weapons, fantastic. It's a top-rated book. So if you're only going to read one book that I've ever read and that I'm recommending anyway, read this book. And of course, going back to my own novel as well, this is the kind of book that I would try to emulate in this. Put it this way: if I could have written any of the books that I've read so far this year, of course, Ian M. Banks' Use of Weapons would be the book that I would most like to write. I'm not saying that the story that I have written is anything like it, or anything of the same standard of it, or anything like that at all. But that's the kind of thing that I'd love to be able to do in my own fiction if I ever write more fiction. Anyway, so hopefully you've enjoyed this rundown of the books of the year so far. To be honest, now I've finished it, I'm not really sure why I did it. It sounded a good idea at the time, but I'm going to release this podcast anyway. I guess it means if you've not read, if you've not listened to, sorry, any of the episodes that I've mentioned here, now you sort of have an idea of the kinds of things I might have said or how I rated the book and things like that. But of course, if you do want to know any of the ratings of any of the books that I've reviewed so far, just go to the sfbrp.com wiki. Sfbrp.com, and then just click wiki or episode information, and then just click on star ratings of all the books reviewed so far. You know, it's right there on the sfbrp.com wiki. And if you have anything to say about any of the episodes or any of the books that I reviewed or any of the things that I've mentioned in this episode or anything like that, just click on the page where or on the wiki, and just add it to the bottom. There's a comment section on the bottom of all of the wiki pages for you to add anything that you want to about the podcast that I've done or about the books themselves. So check it out. Also, like I said previously, email me. What were the questions that I asked? Let me quickly go back through my notes here again. Oh yeah, how you found the podcast? I'll be really interested to do that. Anything that you want me to change about the podcast, or anything that you'd like to say about it, you can do that. Also, email me if you want a copy of my latest bit of work. And again, I actually really decided, okay, I'm definitely going to write a novel this time for the NaNoWriMo, because I've said before, like when I've read these other books, it's like, I could do better than that. So now is your chance. Say, tell you what, read Hunters of June by Kevin J. Anderson. Or Paul of June, yeah, because I thought that was actually a bit worse. Read Paul of June by Kevin J. Anderson and Bryant Herbert, and then read my book, or request my book, and yeah, see which one you think's better. Because if I've beaten one other author that I've read so far, I think that comes down to I win. So email me, luke@juggalo.net. So, yeah, see you next time.